does sensitize people to go get vaccinated to be healthier, then they can go get fat. That happens, you know. But
yeah, it's funny. Like, we're incentivizing you to get better, to get healthy, and go to Krispy Kreme and get donuts.
That's or get a beer. Or get a beer, right?
Beer, or get hot dogs.
Hey there. Welcome to the Gluten-Free Organic Thoughts Podcast, where you are encouraged to express your natural thoughts and views through casual, meaningful conversations that hopefully can lead to learning and understanding new perspectives. To find out more info, visit www.gfothoughts.com. Now, here are your hosts, Michael Wong and Robert Din. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another great episode of Gluten-Free Organic Thoughts Podcast. My name is Michael, and always with me, Robert Din.
Welcome, everybody. How's everyone doing today? We're going to be doing a mismatch of questions today. We're just going to go through and look at some topics and just go through.
Yeah, it's a little different style. We're going to do rapid fire articles where each of us pick. We don't know what it is yet. I don't know what Robert picked. He doesn't know what I picked. And out of those articles, we're going to address one question from the article, and we're going to go from there. But before we get started, Robert, what are you drinking?
What am I drinking? I am drinking some Schramsberg sparkling wine.
Okay.
It's.
Is it even open? Does it look even open? I can't even tell.
It's open.
Okay,
man.
Okay.
Have you... I'm drinking like a closed bottle. It's going to be great.
Right, nice. All right, good news. My next episode, I have a clear bottle coming soon.
Okay? Finally.
The bad news is I don't have one right now with me, but I am not drinking Kahlua coffee. I'm actually trying combine this mushroom chai tea latte that I got.
Oh, so, you brought that over.
Yeah. So I opened that box actually when I went to your place, and I'm still drinking that box right now.
How many were in that box?
24.
24. So yeah. It's like you have like a week left, right?
Yeah, but I've been drinking it once a day. So it's pretty tasty. It's not too sweet. It definitely has its perks. So we're going to talk about that, you know, mushroom benefits and stuff in another episode.
All right.
But all right, you want to get started? Let's do this.
Sure. Let's get started. You want to do the first question or the first article?
I'll do the first question. Okay. So let's start with something loose, something very obvious, something very trending going on nowadays, and something very affecting us the day-to-day basis. And I'm going to start stirring some pot of this. So this is an article of the J&J coming back, J&J vaccine coming back.
Oh, wow.
So, yes. And so the CDC said that, you know, we're just going to slap a warning label under this, and just because the benefit outweighs the risk. So let's be honest. How much thought process do you think they gave into this versus actually a factor of money or cost?
How much thought think that happened going into this? I think J&J had a lot of say in how they were going to get what the next steps of this was going to be, because they're not going to remake the drug, right?
They don't have the time. They don't have the time. Yeah. And plus, they lose money in the current inventory.
Right. So I think they had a lot of lobbyists that were out there trying to bring in some, like, bring in
outside
some data, outside consultants. Like, they're going to, like, try to finagle their data so that it doesn't look so bad. but yeah, it's... Even the people that got blood clots, though, that was the reason it was taken off, right? It's because it was blood clots. What percentage of people was getting this? I think
It's close to the number of counts. I don't have on top of my head, but the warning label that they're gonna slap on is it's a warning label for women under age of 50. There's a potential blood clot. That's what it is.
Oh, that's all they're gonna say. Yeah, I think I asked some people about this, and they said women were more likely to get it. And it's still a low percentage that you're going to get it. It's just that there was a bunch of cases all at once.
Yeah. And it all came surface all at once, like, of course, towards the similar time period.
And this makes sense if you're under the age of 50, if you get it, like, then that's when they open it up to people under 50, right? So they just recently opened it up to more people under 50. Mm-hmm. So then more cases would come up, I guess. I don't know. Are you going to be looking into this now, Mike? You're not a woman, so it doesn't matter, right?
That's true. So funny thing is that I was signed up to actually take this vaccine before, and then 2 days later, like when I was going to go, they actually pulled this back. Mm-hmm. And so obviously I'm probably gonna go. I hate shots in general. I'm just gonna get that one done deal. I'll probably just take this one, to be honest with you.
Even if there's like a slight more risk, I guess it's better than getting COVID.
Yeah, but at the same time though, right? But it's just, to me, that's just kind of like, I don't know how much thought process they really thought through. It's more about how much would hurt the wallet versus how much actually, you know, fit versus actually calculating the safety risk, right? So I just wish that they would provide some transparency behind that. And none of the articles I found provides any kind of transparency.
Maybe they don't know either. Or like they don't want to release numbers that look fishy.
Or maybe perhaps, and I guess they don't want to taint the vaccine popularity, right? In a sense, right? The trend, and I get that. Part of it is, and in terms of assessing risk, at least show us, hey, how did you assess this risk? How did you assess this label would just be fine?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I feel like
it's just funny when I saw that. I was like, oh, they're going to fix this by putting a label in there. I'm like,
there was 0% chance that it was that. Anything was going to happen because of all this, right? Like they can like stop it, but we still like need people to get vaccinated. And like they've put so much money into this, there's no way that there wasn't going to come back unless we already knew
this was going to come back, right? Mm-hmm. And I get it. Block clock could be treated in a sense, but obviously we don't know what their long-term effect could be. For certain things, right? And I get that. And listen, this is better than you getting hospitalized, you know?
Yeah, so, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, by the way, just while we were talking, apparently there are 19 reports looking that, you know, so 19 for reports.
Johnson.
Yeah, for Johnson & Johnson, I think. Apparently one of them died from it, the mm-hmm. blood clot. So, but anyway, I mean, we consider the amount of people have to take that vaccine. You have to mass produce this for everybody to make sure, and everybody's body is different. Stuff's going to happen. We know that.
It's a 0.9 per million people.
But how many vaccines have been released though at that time for Johnson & Johnson? It wasn't that much, right?
I don't know, but in here it says rare blood clots shot at a rate of 7 per 1 million vaccines in people 18 to 49, and then older than that, it's 0.9 per million.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah. And blood clot vaccines tends to happen in general. You know what I mean? So, but yeah.
Yeah, right, 7 in a million, though. That seems super low.
I know. You got to win the lottery, to be honest. So.
I would rather not win the lottery for that point. But, like, yeah, it's very unlikely that you're going to get a blood clot. Yeah. I'll jump on to the vaccine articles.
Go ahead.
Because I had one as well. This is a more funny part of the vaccine. Okay. There are companies out here that are going to give you free stuff if you can prove that you're vaccinated.
Really? Give me the list. I'll do that right away.
Yeah. So my question was like, last time you got the flu shot was because of a free pizza.
Movie ticket.
Oh, free movie ticket. And now they're giving all this free stuff. Are you going to get the vaccine?
Well, keep this in mind. Last time I was in middle school, I was poor.
Oh, you're in middle school.
Yeah.
I thought you were in college.
No. I was in like, I think eighth grade. I think maybe freshman year in high school. Maybe it's between eighth grade and ninth grade. That's
I mean, even so, like free stuff is free stuff.
Yeah. I remember back in the days, they had a donation of blood in front of movie theaters, and I need a movie ticket. I was like, oh, you know what? See, if you're a movie ticket, I'm going to start donating some blood.
You know what was really good was, like, in college, they're like, oh, sign up for a bank account, and you get a free pizza.
Oh, really?
And I didn't know that. I did that. Yeah, so I signed up for a bank account with, like, I think it was Chase.
That's how they got you with a slice of pizza?
No, a full pizza. A full pizza.
A full pie.
Yeah,
okay.
A full pie. And I was like, all right, I'll do this, yeah. And
you know, Chase gave $50 before during college time. You signed up for open a checking account.
I know, but this was pizza. It was like right there. yeah.
All right, so go ahead. What's the question in the article?
No, so I'm going through this list of what you can get. You can get Budweiser is going to give you a beer if you sign up, if you show them that you have a.
So is this like the online, like how do you redeem that, the beer? Do you redeem it on like a website?
They have a website, mycooler.com. But yeah, so Budweiser, there's, I don't know, Junior's Cheesecake, but they're going to give you a cheesecake.
They're huge in New York, in the Northeast. They're really good cheesecake. Amazing cheesecake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they get, you get a free mini cheesecake from there.
Oh, I knew about Krispy Kreme already.
Krispy Kreme gives you a free donut a day.
Yeah. White Castle. Whoa, hang on. All right. This is a new White Castle coming to Orlando. So
yeah. Free dessert. You get a free dessert at White Castle. And then Staples, it says free laminating service. Maybe it's to laminate your vaccination paper.
What's the point of that?
So that you know, like, I don't know, it's a piece of paper, so it doesn't mess up, and then you can get this free stuff, this other free stuff.
I guess I thought the list was longer. I'm disappointed, just so you know.
It is a short list. It also might not be the full list, but it's just
that's true. I mean, it's a pretty recent article list, though. April 24th.
Pretty recent.
Yeah,
but I just thought this was funny. Like, what is this? Is this too much? Are like companies doing
enough?
Yeah, is this doesn't seem like a long list. Should there be more companies that are pushing for this, or is this so, like, I know you've gotten like annoyed with like too much like go get vaccinated talk.
Yeah.
Do you think that this is like more companies should be doing this, or is this like too much? Or?
Well, so it depends, right? I think from working an employee company internally, they're like, hey, you can take the whole day off, whatever it is. They're trying to sensitize people. And then they try to also ask travel opens back up slowly. They want people to get vaccinated, right? And for their own, not only for their own health, for the risk of the other as well. Mm-hmm. And so I do think companies should incentivize, but where did the money come from? You think about that, right? So do they get a tax break from this? Do those companies get a tax break from incentivizing, you know?
I don't think that they need the tax break, because the more people get vaccinated, the more we can get back to.
But they are getting for it. So the new Biden law, I think that just passed. If you can give them a day off, something that showed them that they actually had a day off just to get vaccinated, to prove that they're actually getting some tax credit out of that.
No, I get that. Like giving your employees a day off, but like stuff like this where they're giving away free Krispy Kreme donuts and stuff, they're not getting incentivized from the government for that.
Oh, of course not. Yeah,
I think
this is a publicity stunt. At the end of the day,
it's kind of a publicity stunt, yeah. But it's more that I think you're incentivizing people to go get vaccinated, which gets us back to a closer to being more open, and then it drives more traffic into their businesses.
No, it is true. It's okay. Listen, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, right? But I'm just saying it is a part of PR. We know this. We know the sure. game, right? And but it does sensitize people to go get vaccinated to be healthier. Then they can go get fat. It happens, you know. But
yeah, it's funny. Like we're incentivizing you to get better, to get healthy, and go to Krispy Kreme and get donuts.
That's or get a beer. Or get a beer, right?
Beer, or get hot dogs. Or cheesecake. You know, like it's.
I bet you if Starbucks did this and they get, hey, you get a free cup of coffee, you know how many people will jump on board on that?
Yeah. I think that's a good idea. We should talk to Starbucks about this.
Right?
Plus, if Chipotle decided that they wanted to do something like this, I think we get.
Oh, they go crazy. They go crazy. Sure. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. All right, moving on to the next article. So moving away from vaccination, my latest article is more about the new tax thing that just passed for Joe Biden trying to raise the tax hike for the rich.
So Joe Biden raised taxes for the ultra rich.
The ultra rich. I mean, is it 1%? I forgot. Is it the 1%? Yeah. Well, I think there's a bracket for that. I just don't know what the bracket is on top of my head. But it's about they can be taxed up to the bracket, I think 23%, right? To the capital gains.
If I remember correctly. Reality would feel harsh for investors who got used to pay. Oh yeah. So it used to be that the top capital long term capital gains tax rate was 23.8%. What is it bumping up to?
I think it's 42 now. It almost kind of double, almost something like that.
42%. That's super high. Yeah.
Hang on. Let me double check. I'm pretty sure.
I think that's the number I've heard too. 42%. But it's kind of crazy, right? Like, this is only for if you've made over $1 million a year on capital gains. Or is it $1 million a year, like,
I think it's gross. I believe it's gross revenue. Here's a more detailed article on this, actually. But my question related to this is not really necessarily me about the law itself. I don't care about the law because it doesn't affect me, you know. But but the question is, though, they're going to have a year or two to prepare for this. And they're going to find loopholes for this, you know, the rich people, right? Is it worth it to go against, to go chase this down? You know what I mean? Like the effort and the time, and why they could spend the energy on something better, right? Because right now they're targeting personal stuff instead of the actual corporation side things.
Yeah, that's true. Like, it's corporate. There's a lot of corporations that are getting tax breaks that don't pay anything in taxes. So I think taxing them would probably be more effective. But I think the capital gains tax laws have been super lax for a long time. 23% is lower than what I normally pay in taxes, right? So it's just it's like such a low percentage versus what the normal American is paying. I don't think you should be incentivizing people to have long-term capital gains that are benefiting you more than if you were a normal American, right? Like, I feel like the average American tax rate should be the rate that everybody pays, or like, If you're gonna give the super rich a tax break on it, it should be down to where the average person is, not lower, right? You shouldn't be incentivizing it that far.
So this impacts people who is making $445K or more, you know. And if you are married, joint file, something like that, I think annual income of $1 million, something like that. Mm-hmm. but here's the thing though, like, they're gonna have time to prepare for that. Again, There's always loophole for this, like, and then you're talking individual people versus corporation. You think about that.
Like, yeah, and I get it. Like, but granted, like, the super rich have been not taxed as much as the average American, which I think they should be taxed a little bit more.
I agree.
This 43% is kind of nuts, though, right? The highest,
it is a huge jump.
The highest tax bracket is 39%. So why are you taxing them 43%? Like,
for the long-term capital gains,
right? Yeah. So short-term capital gains is taxed at your nominal tax rate, which is if you're in that tax bracket, it's 39%. Who's gonna hold long-term
Exactly. That's the whole point. Like, no one's gonna hold long-term assets anymore at this point. They're just gonna flip the shit because it's less and less.
It's gonna be like day 364, and then they're gonna sell, and then day 365 they go buy it.
It's gonna be buy. Yeah. also part of it is that, do you think this? Are they purposely doing this to cause more volatility?
No, I think that they don't know. They're just trying to get the poor people on their side. They're like, oh hey, the Democrats are here trying to like tax the rich because that's where we're gonna get money from because they have too much money, right? And I think that's what they're doing.
If it's an image perspective.
Yeah, for sure. In politics, it's a lot of image because they could go and tax and get like real taxes from people, from like companies and stuff. But then they decide to go tax these rich people who are pretty low percentage of the population, and really they're getting a lot in these taxes, but like.
Yeah,
I don't
know. Well, if you think about this, right? Now that let's say that this passes and they actually get it, there's no point of holding this more than a year now. Now you can just flip around day to day if you want to.
Yeah. So what's gonna happen is there's gonna be people who do like if they really need the money, they're gonna flip it within a 1 year. But if they don't, they might hold it until the next Republican comes in and cuts this again.
Yeah, that's true. It may not last.
Like I feel like they're just like people will just wait it out for 4 years, 8 years until a Republican comes in and is like, nah, this is sucks, and then they cut it back down to 20%.
Yeah.
We definitely need to be it needs to be a more reasonable system, right?
There has to be a balance on both sides, not just targeting the rich. I mean, I feel like with corporations, like there is the issue with corporations, you tax the corporation, guess what? It's a trickle down effect to our consumers, people, right? It comes back to the people at the end of the day. We're the paying for that, you know? Yeah. That's a downside to that. So there has to be some kind of innovation, technology, tax, VAT tax, in a sense, that can help that piece.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
I just don't think
we can move on to your article.
I don't think the rich should be taxed. Like, maybe they should tax a little bit more, but they shouldn't be taxed way more, and they shouldn't be taxed way less. Like yeah, that's like
there's two different extremes. Two different extremes.
So, like they just go on either extreme, and there should be some middle ground, which we cover. So going into the super rich, right? Like, I don't have an article for this, but I wanted to bring up that I've been watching this TV show called Undercover Billionaire, which is.
Are you watching season two now?
I'm watching season two now. It's amazing, right? Or it's crazy to watch, right? So what the premise of the show is that they want to show that you can still build a business out with very little. And so what happens is
the American dream is still alive.
That's what they're trying to say. American dream is still alive, right? So they take a billionaire who they put him into a city that like he's never been to before. They give him $100, a cell phone, and a truck, like an old truck. And they say, and then they have 90 days to go make a business that's worth $1 million or more. And if they get there, then they win. If not, then they have to put $1 million of their own money into that business. Right? So basically they're making a bet that they can do this. So the first season was the main, the guy who started the whole thing. He did it. 90 days came out. I don't know if I want to spoil it for you guys out there.
No, don't spoil it. Came out to be close. That's
but it was pretty close. And then the season two, they got three people to do it at once during COVID. So
and they compete against each other.
Not compete against. They're in separate cities.
Wait. Do they know that they're doing against each other though? Like, do they know that they're competing?
I don't think they're not competing. They're just going out and doing it on their own.
It'll be fun to compete against each other to see who does it first.
I guess that's true. But like just watching them, it's such a hard challenge to do, especially in 90 days. It seems so.
But you got you have to do it all in. There's no you cannot work a part time job to do this. Like you have to do it all in.
No, but you need money to survive, right? So they're all.
I know, but exactly. So like, so think about it. You're homeless. You have a car. You have $100.
Yeah. So that they have to go find a job. They have to go get like enough money to have some place to live for the whole challenge, and then from there build up their business. And so there's three people now in season two, and it's in the middle of COVID. And then one of the guys got COVID. So it is an amazing show. And I was going to ask you, Mike, do you think you could do this challenge?
If I had a car at $100?
Yeah. First off, I don't think either of us have created $1 million from nothing. So I agree. We have a disadvantage already, but I think you should watch the show and see if you could.
So should we get a handy? Starting with $1,000 instead of $100.
I don't think if it's $100, $1,000, I think you could give me $10,000, and it would still be a much more difficult challenge than these guys.
Well, so I think I would try it. I'm not saying I would be successful at it. But I will not know if I don't try it. Because so think about this, right? So for me, as a human being, if you're not in that situation, you never encounter that difficulty, you don't know how you're gonna react. Mm-hmm. You can say that yes, you could fail or you could succeed. You don't know that. You just don't know the reality. Yeah. But when it comes to reality, is that when we're in a desperate situation, we will react, we will become creative, and we will work harder.
That's true.
And that's human nature.
But like nothing's stopping you from doing this now, Mike.
That's true.
I think we each have $100 or $1,000. We could just go to a city that we don't know.
But let's assume that. Okay. So let's assume that we don't have any debt and we have no expenses. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because technically, they don't have much expense besides food and whatever gas they need to. Right. They don't have an apartment. They're not giving an apartment. They're not giving anything. Right.
They're giving nothing.
So So technically, yes, we can do it if we have the right circumstances. So it's like, okay, you know what? We have to figure out how to get to this level. But keep this in mind, those people have the experience. They have done it before from scratch. So that's a huge advantage.
That is a huge advantage.
And only that, they have a camera crew following them around. That probably helps them to build credibility.
Actually, on the show, it's been like a detriment a lot of the time.
Really?
Like, because people, when you're brand new to someone and then you're like have cameras around, nobody wants to do business on camera.
Oh, that's true, because okay, now you're recorded.
Now you're being recorded. Yeah, it's harder. So, like, a lot of the times they'll go into deals and they'll be like, you guys stay outside. I have the mic on. But, like, you guys stay outside so that they don't see it. Because people get spooked when there's cameras.
That's true.
And they're like, what? Like, who is this guy that's, like, he's nobody, but, like, cameras are following him around? That seems very sketchy, right?
Yeah.
So, like, it's harder to, like, get credibility when you have cameras around.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. Like it's a challenge. There's nothing stopping us from doing it. I don't think watching the show, I don't know if I have the drive and the ideas that they have.
The creativity
because they've done it before, so they know all of the ways that you can make money on whatever. Like when they look at something, they're like, "Oh, there's six ways to make money here." Whereas
that's true.
When we're looking at it, we're like, "Oh, we know this one way," and we'd have to.
We're a ton of vision to us.
We'd have to like build out that idea process of like finding all the ways to make money off of this one thing.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's a very interesting show, though. Anybody who's watching, I would suggest you go out and watch it.
Yeah. To answer your question, though, I think I would try it. I don't think I would be successful at it.
Right. But like, even if you don't get to a million, you'll get to like. I don't know, anything higher than $100, and that's a positive right there.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I would know that I would react to it, and I would be desperate enough that I would build something out of it. That's the thing. I would be cornered, right? At the end of the day, you'll be cornered to do something.
Yeah. We were also talking the other day about – we were talking how, like, our families, like, they came over here with nothing, so then they were forced into like, learning it. And you were asking if there was a way where – we could go through and get that appreciation without having nothing and like going through that pain.
Yep.
Maybe everybody should just go through this.
There should be a course.
Maybe right out of high school.
Right after high school, before you go to college, you go through this course, 1 year course.
Yeah, you go through a course of 1 year where you're like
even 6 months. Right. Even just 6 months is still enough.
Hey, they did it in 90 days. All right. If we get billionaires to go
so
teach
we'll double
people,
that, 6 months.
Yeah, if we get billionaires to teach this. Like, this is how you need to think about life.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this would be
you,
very
you can get them sponsored this sponsor a program. Do a pilot program to test that out for
you know
6 months.
I'm going to call up Undercover Billionaire, and we're going to get
this
program started.
We'll call it, Undercover Billionaire Scholarship. If you successfully do this, you can have your college paid.
Your college is paid. And honestly, if you get through this, your college
you don't need
is already
college.
Paid.
Yeah, your college is already paid, right?
Like, you don't need college, and college is paid because you're making – you have $1 million business.
And not only that, you probably get honorary degree is what it is.
Yeah, like, they'll just start getting honorary degrees from every college in America. So, I think this is a good idea. We have a new plan, Mike.
Hey, we have it recorded, so this is our plan. No one can steal it from us.
No one can steal it. Y'all see it right here. You heard it first.
All right. All right, moving on to my next conversation. I do have something really funny. So shifting this to, we'll talk about, I guess, being rich at the same time, but this is like more about crypto. So this is an article of, is cryptocurrency holders hurting relationship?
Are they hurting relationships?
Yeah.
How
so this
is
article
this possible?
So this article talks about how they did a survey to the crypto holders, how it could potentially hurt the personal relationship by do they hold, do they sell, does that affect social life? And apparently 60% says had a negative impact in their personal relationship with his friends or close relationship.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So they're saying that they're treating their relationships like crypto and it's hurting their relationship.
It's more like because let's say that you're a longer holder, right? You become more rich, and you know, so money can corrupt them, right? Or for example, they may need the money, and however, the one person doesn't want to sell it, and so they're like, you know, we need to hold this longer, and then they sell it, and then they regret it.
Oh, you're holding crypto together, like in a spousal relationship.
It's called crypto. Yeah, these are the people called crypto holders. So people who has been holding their money, and they did a survey with them.
But these are like people in relationships, like husband, wife.
Or even family relationship as well. So, because one person could become a crypto billionaire overnight, and they change personality, and it hurts the relationship, the personal relationship as well. They become snobby, right? Or they become whatever, you know.
I mean, I mean, once you're rich, you change, right? It's you're a different person.
I don't know, but the question is, though, that I want to ask with this question is, to this article, is that will you change if you have become crypto rich like this?
Hey, Mike, if I get crypto rich, we might not be doing this podcast anymore. You're going to get deleted from all of my phone numbers.
What? And
all this stuff. It might happen, Mike. It might happen. You don't know.
Yeah, you'll be sponsoring this podcast. What are you talking about?
You know what? I have new friends. You know, I have a new group chat with Elon and Zuck. You know, like
there we go. They could be our new guests. There we go.
You want them? You want those guys' desk? Those are my new friends. I don't want to hurt my new relationships with this old relationship. I don't know. I feel
because it causes natural stress already, right? So already with the volatility of crypto going up and down, especially let's say you hold certain coins, it goes up and down. That it's already causing stress. And then on top of that, let's say that you have financial stress also as well. You need the money. Like, do you make a decision to hold or sell? And then, or where you don't need the money when you're already ultra rich, when do you sell? And some people, you know, like, how long can you really hold it for?
Honestly, like, it's your money, right? So why is everybody else in your business about when you should sell if it's up to you? The only thing is, like, if you can't pay your bills and you have crypto, you should probably sell your crypto and pay your bills. Like, I'm just gonna be.
But what about the 11-fold gains the last 12 months?
I mean, yeah, but you can't live. Like, you don't have a place to sleep. You're gonna be a homeless person with crypto. Like, is that worth it? You still need to keep a level of a standard of living, right? That you need, right? So I don't know. If I was in like crippling debt, I would probably sell all of my crypto and pay it off. But there's, I don't know. This definitely is a long term thing, right? Like people can sell whenever they want. They have their own
everyone's financial tolerance, right?
And their financial situation's all different. But yeah, it's. I don't know. If it's a family thing, like if it's my account, I'm going to be.
So hey, about this. How about this? So you have crypto holding, okay?
Yeah.
And then you're rich overnight and your wife tells you to sell it. What would you do?
No, my wife wouldn't tell me to sell it. Here's the thing, right? Like, I would
Sell this piece of crap. We need to buy a mansion now. You know?
No, why do we need a mansion? We probably already have like a nice small house, right? Like, that's already paid for. Or if it's not, then the payments are reasonable enough that we could pay for it, right? Like,
so you don't think this would change you overall?
No, I don't think if I became a millionaire overnight that anything of my living would change, really.
Oh, really?
It would just give me security in case that I decided, oh, I want to do something, right? So it doesn't change my, like, day-to-day. It just changes, if I can invest in something in the future.
That's true. Yeah. It gives you more options.
More options, yeah. And because, like, right now I'm living below my means anyway, so it doesn't, like, it's not going to affect my day-to-day. And I'm not one of those people who's going to go out and, like, buy $100,000 car or a Lambo.
You don't need a Lambo? You don't need SF, man. There's plenty of Lambos there.
There's way more Teslas than Lambos in San Francisco.
Fine, a Tesla.
But yeah, I don't think I would only buy things that I feel like I need, and maybe I would go higher end on them once I become a millionaire. But I don't know. Even then, I'm like kind of, I'm kind of stingy on that stuff.
All right.
Would it change you? You think you would change?
I think that it will definitely change me, but I would be more aware of it because I know myself now. So my self-awareness is definitely more alert. But I wouldn't let it control me. You know what I mean? Like, because
how do you know? It's usually like a slow grind, right?
It is a slow grind, but I put certain trigger of habits where I notice some things are changing in my own habits to recognize that now, right? And sometimes, like, the ego gets the best out of you. It just happens.
It
just happens. And I get that. But I feel like it will, and this probably varies person to person, but I will make sure that I have some kind of self-awareness check throughout the time period. Because when this could happen, this happened really fast. And there's just, you need time to reflect, and you don't have time to reflect when this happens.
Yeah. And by that time, you'll already have, like, defriended all of us and No, and like have your new friend group of Zuckerberg and Elon, and you're like, yeah, well, now that I think about it, that was probably a bad idea, but I don't have their numbers anymore because I threw that phone away.
No, so for me, I'm a different mindset person. I want to be successful, but I also want my friends around me to be successful because it's more enjoyable, that ride. You know what I mean? That journey together, that journey together, rising together, is more successful than a single person doing themselves.
I agree with that. Like, it's not fun being rich alone. Like, yeah. I don't know how I feel about it, but like, just being, like, if you take a week off from work and go on vacation, right? Yep. And you're home by yourself, and none of your friends are home. Like, you're just at home, like, it's boring, right?
Yeah.
You want other people to go with you and have fun, and like, we go on like trips and stuff. I feel like you need that. You need more other people than just yourself to be happy.
That's a life experience, right? So like, I wouldn't. So the way I would see myself changing is that I would try to lift my friends around me more and get involved in their life. That's the way I would change, because now I have the time to do it.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying?
Unless you're trying to be a billionaire, and then. You're going from millionaire to billionaire. Like, that's not, you might not have the time if you're trying to push further ahead all the time, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Also, at the same time, humility runs a little bit in my family to a certain degree. But also, like, I want to make sure that in my mindset that I stay, you got to know where you come from. So you can't forget where you come from. That's the thing. You just can't.
That's true.
So, yeah. All right. Moving on, what's your next article?
So my funny article, I have a funny article here too. It's very hysterical. So in Florida the other day, we saw this article where a woman says she spotted a baby dinosaur running through her yard.
Of course, it's Florida, right?
It's always Florida. Why always Florida? So I'm gonna play the video a little bit. It's just a very short 4-second video of a dinosaur running through this backyard. Mike,
is it a cute dinosaur?
It looks like a raptor. Like, it looks like a baby raptor running through.
Is it a giant iguana? Is it like an iguana, probably?
Mike, what do you think? Do you think that Jurassic Park is coming to? This is in Orlando too, so it could be right next to Walt Disney World. We could have a Jurassic Park. What do you think?
I do think it could be a lizard, like probably like a Komodo dragon, because that's what it looks like. I seen this around in Orlando. They're pretty big sometimes, especially like in
your. It's on your two legs.
Yeah, you seen them.
They run on two.
Well, if they run that speed, they could run on two legs. But also, I couldn't tell if they were actually on two legs or two tiny little feet in front. I couldn't tell. But it's going away from us.
Yeah, if you haven't seen this video and if you're listening on the podcast, you should go check out our website, www.gfothoughts.com. Go to our YouTube video, GFO Thoughts, and then you can see the link on there, and you'll be able to see, and you can tell us if you see a dinosaur there or not. I see a dinosaur, but I don't know why I see a dinosaur there. There's gotta be some logical explanation to this, right?
It's funny because one of the comments says that, oh, it looks like a dog wearing a harness on a leash and a neck. It's definitely not a dog.
it looks crazy. I don't know what this is. I'm just
but if you pause it though, there looks like there is a leash or a tail. You can't tell the end of it. But it was really fast though.
Yeah, it's such a short video that like it's hard to.
And it's black and white, so.
Yeah. It's black and white. It's...
All right. Speaking of funny things, I don't have an article for funny things, but I have a really funny image.
You have a funny image.
It confuses people. So, so those who are not watching us on YouTube, it's pretty much an image of a sign that says, don't push, don't pull. However, though, the left-hand side is all blue and the right-hand side is all red. But if you read it across both words, the left-hand side says, don't push. And like, don't is in the first sentence. First line, and then push into on the second line on the left hand side of blue, and it says pull only on the right hand side, and it's red right on the first line, but then only on the bottom. But if you read it together, you could read don't pull, push only horizontally versus vertically.
Yeah, so it could be that you don't pull, push only, or you don't push and you pull only. Yeah. Both ways seem legit,
But what do you think though the sign says actually means though? Is it don't push? Because it's all one color, right?
It seems like it's a don't push pool only.
Yeah, I agree too. But it's confusing this behind this.
Also, the if you look at the, like, usually the door handle will tell you whether it's a push or a pull.
But if you see the image, though, there's two door handles, one inside, one outside.
Yeah, and this is a long one down.
Yeah.
Those could be either. I don't like those doors, right? The doors need to, like, give you an idea of what you should be doing a lot of the times. Like, the one that's a long horizontal bar across is a push for sure. And then the ones that are up and down like this should be a pull or have something like that.
I know, it's just funny when I saw this. I was like, oh my God. I can see how people can get upset with this though.
This is crazy sign. this is a crazy sign. Who would put this up?
I mean, but the person who designed this, like, just put one sign. You don't need both of them.
This is not, that's true. You don't need to say push and pull, no, don't push and pull only.
Right, like, just put one sign, that's it. Or you could put don't push in the other side and pull on the other side, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You could have either, like, just one of these, like, don't push, pull only, or don't pull, push only. Like, either one of those four would have been fine. You can't put two of them on there.
It's so confusing. All right. What's your next article?
Okay, I don't think I have an article for this, but I wanted to address that Apple announced that they had an event this week, and they were talking about the new M1 iPads. They had new iMacs and then AirTags. And they're also like a purple iPhone 12.
I don't know why that mattered, purple.
I don't know, a new colorway for their iPhone. So my question here is, like, they had a lot of good stuff, and these M1 like chips are amazing for their product specifically.
Yeah.
I want to know how can any other company compete right now with these M1 chips? They're so dedicated to this specific to their devices, and they've been optimized for those devices that I don't know how any other company can.
So let me ask you this. Let's say that it sounds like you're saying that those chips are so far advanced, and for that price,
it might not be. No, I don't know for the price. I'm saying, but these chips are so optimized for the items that Apple has, right? So Apple has all these products. Yep. They're having these M1 chips, and they're optimizing them for these specific products. So these products are so much faster, and they're so much stronger than the competition right now. How is anyone going to compete with this? Do companies need to start doing this own, like, their own ecosystem type of thing? Or is there, like, I don't know, it's must be pushing Intel and AMD to, like, increase their
hardware is better, right? Is the hardware better for those tablets than any of the ones in the market?
I mean, the tablets are better. The computers look like shit, but I don't know. That might be my opinion, that they just look bad. Or, like, and this is like the intro.
No, no, but in terms of all those, like, I guess competitors, like similar products, like, mm-hmm. are they better in general? Is it worth the price now?
Is it worth the price to buy? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I've always said the iPads are the best iPads. The iMacs mm-hmm. are not, like, they're not worth buying. And then. Like,
well, the new iMacs is really thin now. It's actually a whole game changing, the new iMacs right now. So
yeah, but they're trash. They look like trash. Yeah. They're not.
Well, I mean,
no one's gonna buy it, right? Or people are gonna buy it because they're Apple lovers. But, like, no one who's a real computer person is gonna buy it because it's thin. They're gonna buy it because of the performance, right? And the new Apple laptops that came out, the MacBooks, are amazingly fast, right? Oh, really? So those are like. So good. Like, if you're an Apple person, like, the new M1 MacBooks are, like, way better than the Intel MacBooks that they've had. So
really?
Oh. Yeah, they're like multiples higher because they've optimized it so to get the most out of these chips.
Okay, so what's your question overall though? You said you think that are the companies going to try to do their own ecosystem just to optimize?
Yeah, I don't know how other companies right now are going to.
I don't think they can
react. Like, how do they react to this? Because
so think about this, Robert. do you think they have the cash flow to even try to invest in research facilities and to even focus on the time and effort to develop their own chips like that? And then, you know what I mean? Like, they will have to partner, they will have to get together with other companies together to partner up together to build that ecosystem. Like, Google will have to get
I don't think it's an ecosystem thing, right? Like, even, like, I know Apple might created their own ecosystem, which is why they can do this and why they can do it so easily. I 100% agree that Intel and AMD are going to have to partner with specific companies to build out the best quality single product, because they're not they just can't compete if they're opening it up so that anybody can use these. It's not going to work as efficiently as the M1 chips, so it's impossible for them to compete in that sense. It's just that they're gonna,
you know what they might have to do. They may have to design a specific model chip for each company, to be honest, to optimize to their performance, to their hardware, you know. So they might have to do that. So
yeah, and is that going to cost more, right? Like, there's going to be companies that, like, all these laptops are going to get more costly.
Yeah.
So there might be these, like, cheap Walmart computers, but they just will work 1,000 times more, less efficiently.
I feel like right now, those tablets, especially the iPad tablets, let me tell you right now, like, it's crazy. And it's $1,000. And I'm like, I bought my powerful laptop for $1,000. And I'm like, yeah. I don't see myself buying a tablet for $1,000. I just don't see that, though. You know, like,
I mean, there's the lower cost one that's like $700, $800 or something.
Again, my laptop, you know this, the RTX laptop that I bought recently right now, it was $1,100, and it's way more powerful than the laptop. I mean, than the tablet.
So. I don't know. because this M1 chip is like so strong with what the product is, it might be that you just add on it, like, and the tablets are getting closer to like laptops anyways.
Yeah. These days. Except for the graphics, but yeah.
Right. So like, you wouldn't be able to game on it, but like, if you're doing productivity stuff, it might be just as effective.
Even the screen's better. The screen's so crazy good. The cameras.
Yeah. And it's a touch screen, which like no iMacs or no MacBooks have, right? So yeah. I want to know how the rest of the competition is going to compete with this.
You know what we should do a survey in our Insta and IG to see what people think.
A survey to see what the question
to see what people think. Would those companies respond positively or would they try to form, would they try to create their own product, or would they try to form partnerships to align that? I feel like it's easier to create partnerships, to be honest.
No, I think so too. I think that's probably the way that it's gonna happen. And it's gonna be like companies like Razer, or like the higher end companies that are gonna be doing it, where they're gonna partner with it, and then they're going to have engineers on both sides to like try to optimize their stuff. It's just crazy because as soon as Apple decided that they're gonna create their own chips, like, we knew this was gonna happen. Like, they're gonna optimize it to the best, like, the top of the line, and it's hard for anyone to compete. And Intel and AMD have like tried to keep up, but even their chips, they're like, AMD has made huge stretch, like jumps in their technology, but it's still not competing with M1.
Yeah, I mean, and it's cheaper too for some, you know, the AMD chips. So I actually like the new AMD chips too. So
AMD is the way to go. Intel is like lagging for sure behind everyone else.
I feel like they stagnated themselves. That's what happened. So yeah,
I also think that they have the chips available, like they have the research to like, they're probably like six generations ahead in their stuff, but they just want to slowly
release it
so that they have something new every year. I think so, because AMD put out like stronger chips last year, and then Intel immediately afterwards had their Tiger Lake available. And they're like, oh yeah, we have this. It also works really well. So like,
like, so they have it in the back pocket already.
Yeah, I think they have it ready, but like nobody's competing with them to like force them to show their hand.
Yeah, that's true, because now it's not a monopoly anymore for them. So they gotta do something for sure.
Exactly.
All right. So moving on to the next article, I just sent you this. So this was a blog about pretty much talking about how TikTok broke social media monopoly from Facebook and Instagram. And it goes through the process how TikTok blew up over even more during COVID time last year. And it kind of talked about how TikTok tried to tighten up content, how easy to create them, how unpredictable it is, how the clips are so brief as it gets, you can go through quick sessions, and how easy it is you can get something out of it, right? Mm-hmm. And so the question is, though, do you think this article is true? Did TikTok break the giant social media content for Facebook, Instagram?
I think so. Like, TikTok, they created a social media platform that is so addictive and so easy to navigate that, like, everybody is getting on TikTok. And it's just, like, exploding. I deleted TikTok recently, like, maybe a few months ago, because it was so addictive. And I haven't felt like that since Facebook, right? So since I had Facebook, which I deleted Facebook years ago, and I only go on through the browser now because it's like it adds a barrier to like not be on Facebook so much. And I haven't felt like that since, I haven't felt like that again until TikTok came out. And I was just, and I had to like delete it. It was, I think they've cracked the formula to break that monopoly for sure.
Yeah, and I think part of the also too, the beauty about this is that they push creative contents, non-commercial contents, and small brand contents up to get people's view in a sense. And this is why a lot of small brands, a lot of small influencers like TikTok to help drive traffic. And this generated another, it kind of forced Facebook's hand to tie together to push real videos, right? And so, and they mimic a lot of the functionality that TikTok has, but most people still create a TikTok video and then they download it and then they use the water, say, get rid of the watermark and re-upload it Reels. So they're not using Reels to create videos. It's just a second upload.
Oh, really? Yeah. I've seen a lot of Reels that I've already seen on TikTok. I think I've seen that.
And you can tell because they used the font that came from TikTok. They used everything that came from TikTok. So it's kind of funny though. So like, so the ease of creating content, it's so naturally nice. Like any 10-year-old, 12-year-old can use it as a thing. Like, mm-hmm. And the creativity behind it, it doesn't restrict their creativity. That's a thing either.
Yeah.
So, and ultimately, I do think this is true because now they're the one, Facebook and IG is following their stuff. It's starting to like catch up with their technology, catch up with their functionality.
But have we also seen this before? Like, because like Snapchat also, was up and coming social media, and then Facebook and Instagram stole stuff like taking like filters and stuff from Snap and we're putting it on their stuff.
Yep.
Do you think that there's a longevity to it compared to?
Speaking about this, Snapchat came back already. Snapchat came back in the Gen Z generation, and they're using it still.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I just never use Snapchat. So I never was like a big Snapchat person.
So I've used Snapchat and versus, yes, I agree with you, where IG stole some functionality from Snapchat. But Snapchat, it became a kind of like a communication tool now where I send you a picture here and there, blah, blah, blah about this, and it gets erased. It doesn't have to be posted in history at all. You know what I mean? I send you a reminder, hey, here's a picture of this. Like in that Gen Z generation, it became a tool for them to use. And so now not only that, there are also ads running towards that, towards them, where it can get converted people to go over different sites. So, and the beauty about this is with Snapchat is that you could create customized filters where it's a birthday filter that can only last for 2 hours, where no one else has done that right now. So the technology of Snapchat is the smart lens. So
I get it. But like I'm also not on Snapchat 24/7. And I couldn't stay on Snapchat for longer than.
Well, no, it's not as addictive as you think, right? It's
so
not
addictive. TikTok, I could stay on TikTok for hours and just be on TikTok for hours, and that was similar to how Facebook was in the past, where I could stay on Facebook and the unlimited scroll. I could like look for stuff unlimitedly.
So Snapchat has a feed thing, but more related to mainstream news than just personal people feed, because they don't really advertise it very well. or I guess showcase it very well. However, though, with Snapchat, though, like the creation of content, you don't need to be that creative in order to get your Snapchat video across. Where, guess what? In TikTok, you have a feed, like an IG feed, that you, your video will stay there forever.
Yeah, who cares? Like, that's good. I like that.
Yeah, but in Snapchat, you don't have that. In Snapchat.
Right. Yeah. So that's why you're saying that they don't, that people don't stay on there for very long.
Well, people use that as a communication tool. They don't use it as a social media acting tool. Hey, I'm gonna make this video and promote it in Snapchat. They just do it. Hey, I'm here. Mm-hmm. Guess what? I'm enjoying this. That's it. Done. Right.
Yeah. So you're saying it's more like Messenger than Face than like Instagram. I guess that's true. But like, I don't know, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook.
So let me ask you this though. So to me, to answer this question is that I think they definitely broke the monopoly piece of it. I do think that they could get acquired by a bigger company. Also, they can even blow them up even more.
Why would they want to do a merger with any other company?
I don't know, different functionalities. I mean, you never know. Like, imagine if TikTok merged with Twitter.
Twitter sucks. Like, Twitter sucks. Snapchat sucks. I wouldn't see them wanting
See, the thing is that though, Twitter is still amazing. Believe it or not, Twitter, you can get news. You can get information, like news across within 10 seconds. That's it. Simple as that.
I think it would be more interesting. Like, it would make more sense for Snapchat and Twitter to, like, combine.
Merge together. Yeah.
I could see Facebook and TikTok being, merged together.
That would never happen. I just don't see that happening.
I don't see it either, but I don't see TikTok. I don't see how TikTok can say there's another company that's going to grow our company as much as they can themselves.
That's true.
They have a very strong platform.
Yeah.
And whereas like an Instagram, which had a strong platform but didn't, they sold super early to Facebook. I think if TikTok was earlier in their stage, like Facebook could acquire them and it would have been part of it. But now there's no way that they're going to get acquired by anybody because they have too much pull and
they actually have ad revenue now. So
yeah, I don't think that they're going to get acquired by anybody. And I don't think I don't think they should accept a merger with anybody.
Me neither. I agree. I think that's what I'm trying to say. Like, I think they're going to be relevant for a very long time.
I think so. I think that's probably true. Do you think that Facebook and Instagram, is this the start of their decline as a social media?
I wouldn't say so. I think they plateau for sure.
I think they've already plateaued.
I don't think this is decline.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think Facebook is in the decline right now. But the fact that they have purchased Instagram or that they build out Instagram –
It made them relevant
again. But if they didn't have Instagram, they would have already been not
big
social media. They would have been like the Twitter here.
Facebook is the new phone book. You understand that?
Facebook is the new phone book.
That's what it is. You stay in contact with your friends with your phone book. Your little notebook that you have all your contact lists. Mm-hmm. You know, back in the days, like your Rolodex. Pretty much Facebook is your Rolodex to some degree.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I guess so. But I feel like my Rolodex is more of LinkedIn.
That's professional, though. But I'm talking about from my personal level.
Yeah, but no, who had a Rolodex for their personal?
I do. Who didn't?
Who didn't? I think you're in the minority there. I think TikTok is taking a lot of share from Facebook and Instagram for sure.
I think it's taking a lot of ads from them. I agree. But they still, so keep this in mind, TikTok is still driving views to YouTube, driving views to IG. They're still driving traffic to their site. So technically, Instagram and Facebook are still winning. If you think about that.
YouTube is not part of Facebook, so that doesn't...
I'm just letting you know how TikTok can drive to other platforms.
I think TikTok needs to... I don't know. Can you link your TikTok videos to like websites and stuff? Do you have to go to your user profile and then click on
share and download? Yeah, correct. Yeah,
that sucks. Like they should be
it's
able.
Not, to... It's not like a direct RSS feed.
No. I'm saying like they should have it where like if you have a TikTok video, you should be able to link to, your own personal website.
I'm sure that functionality is coming soon. So, if you think about all the
I think it's only for businesses or verified people, right?
Yeah, think about
that's one thing about TikTok that that's one thing about Instagram I don't like is that their stuff doesn't link to a website unless you go to the profile, then you click on a link, then you click, then you get to their website, yeah. Right? It's too many steps. I think that they need to think about it. But also they don't want to like they don't want people to move off platform for anything.
Yeah.
So I guess that's why they're adding this barriers. But yeah.
All right. So, what's your next article?
Anybody, also, anybody listening, if you want, we have our TikTok that you can go to GFO Thoughts on there. So, check out our TikTok as well.
That's right. Check them out. We're actually, you know, like our videos, comment our videos. You know, they're short keto clip videos of our past conversation. So, check them out.
Yeah. So, my last article here is about Steph Curry.
Oh, nice.
Steph Curry, if people who don't know, Steph Curry is a basketball player for the Golden State Warriors. He has won multiple MVPs, but recently he just had an injury to his tailbone, and he came back, and he's 33 years old, and he hit the record for most 30-point games in a row by somebody over the age of 33. And this is an amazing accomplishment. The only other people that are close is he broke Kobe Bryant's record of 10.
Yep.
And then Michael Jordan has multiple nine streaks, right?
Yep.
My question here is if the Golden State Warriors make it to the playoffs and don't get like, let's say they get to the sixth seed where they're not in the play-in bracket, right? Yep. Should Curry be the MVP?
If he makes it to the second round, yes, he'll probably get MVP.
No, not if they make it, because this is a season record, right? Like, it's not a playoff record, or it's not a playoff trophy, right? Like, MVP. So I'm saying if they get to a point where they're not in the play-in, because in the NBA, the last three seeds, their last four seeds, they have a play-in tournament to see who gets into the playoffs, right?
Yep.
If he can get them to like the sixth seed or the seventh seed where he's not playing in that play-in tournament, should he be the MVP or should they still be going for the team with the best record, the best player and the best record? That's what
I'm saying is that though, if that team makes it to the playoff because of him, he should definitely be in the runner-up at least.
Yeah. Okay. So. You think he should be runner-up?
I don't think LeBron's gonna win it this year. Okay.
No, he's already injured for too long.
Yeah.
He's already
out. I think Giannis is close, but Giannis' team's not doing. It's doing okay.
I think the top two runners right now is Joel Embiid and Jokic.
So Joel Embiid's up there for sure, as long as he can stay healthy still.
I think Jokic is by far the leader right now.
But Jokic, the Nuggets are killing it right now. That's all.
Yeah, but the Warriors just beat the Nuggets last night.
Yeah.
So anyone who watching, that's the day where we're recording. Yeah, but I don't know, what would he have to do to win MVP this year?
He has to carry the team to the playoff.
But it looks like they're already going to be in the playoffs.
No, they're, passing first round. That's what I'm trying to say. He has to pass first round.
But it's not a regular season award. Or it's not a playoff award. Like, no,
I get that.
Like,
I get that.
I know.
Usually, I thought usually you don't announce the season MVP until the whole play was off at that end, right?
Right, right. But like nobody's like everybody who's voting on it is voting on a regular season MVP.
Gotcha. The criteria.
So like let me look at the regular season. How is everyone doing? And that's what we vote on. It doesn't matter if they make it to the finals or not. It's about the regular season.
It will come down to is does Jokic make the team better? Or does Curry make his team much better? Like, can he? You know what I mean? At the end of the day, it seems like Curry's gonna Curry makes his team way much better than Jokic can make his team.
It's true, but like we've historically had MVPs who are the best player on the best team, and that's how it works almost every
year. That's
true. So I don't know. But if you look at the numbers, like Jokic should be the MVP for sure. He's like his like plus minus. His plus minus is way higher than everyone else's. They have like there's another statistic that's like
and he just lost Jamal.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there's like a statistic that's like wins added or something that yeah. like like for each player, and he's at like 12, and then the next person is Steph Curry with at like 7 or 8. So he's like way high. Like he's played an amazing season, so probably he's gonna get MVP. Okay. And then Curry might be third the race, because Embiid is also playing out of his mind, and his team is number one in the East. So
are they number one now?
Oh,
I thought they were number three. Okay.
I think the 76ers are number one, and then the Nets are number two.
Yeah, the Nets.
Yeah, the Nets are number one. 76ers are number two. Bucks are number three. Bucks are way behind it in third.
Yeah. How did he do? Number seven? Number six?
Seventh seed.
Yes, that's good. All right.
What if they don't make the play? What if they don't make the actual
playoffs? I want the Heat to be in the seventh seed going into it.
You want them to be there.
Yeah.
Then they play the Hornets.
Yes. Of course. Yes. I want to play the Hornets.
Oh. Wait. Is it the 7th and 8th seed that play the 9th and 10th seed?
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So they'll actually play the Wizards. It's 6th seed, they won't play at all.
Yeah, so I want to, that's what I'm saying. Between 6 and 7, it depends on the teams there.
So right now, if it ended today, I'll show people here.
Yeah.
If it ended today, the Heat would go against the Wizards, which the Wizards, I think, are a hard team to play.
They're a hard team, for sure.
And the Hornets would play the Pacers.
Yeah.
On the Western side, it would be the Blazers playing the Spurs, and then the Grizzlies playing the Warriors.
Man, I just feel bad. Speaking of the Blazers, I just feel bad for Lillard. I just want him to go to the NBA final, you know, at least once for him to experience that.
Why do you feel bad for him?
Man, he just works so hard, and it's just like, you know, he's carrying that team so much, man.
That's true. He's carrying the team. But he's out right now, right? He's injured?
I'm not sure. I don't know. But I'm just saying overall, though.
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be a crazy season. But yeah, that was my article, Steph Curry. Shout out to Steph Curry.
All right. So, well, first of all, I think NBA playoffs coming up, right? So hopefully, you know, we'll shoot the Warriors. Good luck.
I don't wish the Heat good luck. I just don't like the Heat at all. It's not my team.
Hey, are you going to try to go to a game, though?
Oh, they just, like, the last game was their first game with
a fan. Yeah, with a fan in it. Yeah, mm-hmm.
I don't know if I'm good yet. I might wait till I'm completely got my vaccine, and then I'll be ready to go.
All right. So we're gonna wrap this episode up with some rant. What is your rant for today, Robert?
Oh, so my rant today is I did go get my first vaccine on Tuesday.
When did you get a lollipop? Tuesday.
No, they didn't give. Why didn't they give us lollipop? That might be my rant. No, but. So when you're going in San Francisco, when you're going to go get your vaccine shot, we did a drive-through one, right? So we drove up, then we like couldn't find the entrance because they have like a whole parking lot and there's like multiple levels and shit. It's crazy, right? So they made us go to the back of the parking lot.
Yeah.
We went through this, like, it looked like Disney where like the line just goes around in circles. And then we get to one point and they're like, okay, everybody give us your license and then and then we'll check you in. So then they go and check us in, and then we go to where they give vaccines, where you also have to give your license. So my question is, what's the point of the first check-in? Like, why do you if we have to give you our license anyways and you're checking, what's the point of this? Like, I don't get it. Why are we sitting here in this long line that goes around, and then we stop here, they you give them your license, they check you in, and then send you to another long line where you also have to give your license. Like, what's the point?
Yeah.
What happened here? There has to be a better way.
I'm just wondering, like, what was the thought process of them to structure that?
Yeah, I have no idea what they're thinking right now. It's like, oh, you know what? We're going to make people go in this line for 10 minutes, and then we're going to check them in, which I think
Was it a long wait, though? It was a lot of cars.
It was a lot of cars. It definitely was a lot of cars. Like people were.
I thought Silicon Valley people were smart. So.
That's what I thought too. That's why I'm here. I thought we had smart people here, but I think the the non-tech side of San Francisco is still in the old old Stone Age. So I don't know.
I guess so.
What's your rant, Mike?
All right. So my rant is, I hate that obviously because of COVID time, you can't have guests, you know, in the hospital, which is fine. I get that. But I hate the fact that I had to dial to a number, transfer to get 4 times before I can get to that patient. Okay, but if I get to that nurse, direct contact to the nurse who's taking care of that patient, right?
Where was this? This was like you were in the hospital? No.
So I have a guest in the hospital, and obviously I wanted them to talk to them, right? Or talk to the nurse to see what's going on. Mm-hmm. And so in order for me to reach to that nurse, they had to transfer me 3 to 4 times.
Wow.
And not only that, this happens pretty often, right? So my friend, the same thing, told me like, and I'm like, you would think they would make life easier because you cannot have visitors in the hospital. At least make it life easier to talk to that patient or talk to the nurse. I get it. The nurses are busy, you know, because mm-hmm. they don't have time to deal with, now they're dealing with top of that customer service. They're dealing with all the stuff of that. But you would think that they would get staff member to help them out or some kind of support.
Yeah, yeah. Some support.
So specialist. By the time I get transferred, every time I try to talk to somebody, it's about 15, 20 minutes into the phone.
Yeah. And you're like, hey, I need to talk to this patient or to talk to we want to know what's going on. And then they're like, oh, we'll transfer you. That's how it works. Yeah.
Or to say, oh, sorry, the doctor hasn't gotten back to us. Calls back in 20 minutes. I'm like, are you serious? It took me 28 minutes just to get to you.
That is annoying. That's super annoying. Especially if someone's in the hospital, you want to know what's going on right away. Like, it's not like 20 minutes is like a is
it's
a,
just crazy. A like, long it's just, time. You know, yeah. I don't know, man. I'm saying healthcare is kind of messed up right now.
Healthcare. We gotta get Adnan back on to complain to him about our healthcare system.
I wish we know somebody who can help lobbyist healthcare stuff for us.
Oh, healthcare lobbyist. Maybe we get like who is it that we had on? I don't know. Well, maybe we can find somebody who can like help us lobby. We need specialists to be on the phones to answer the phones for us and point us in the right direction.
Hey, for those who listen to our podcast, you know, if you have anybody in the healthcare world, you know, send them away to come on the podcast.
Yeah, it's true. We're always looking for more guests. For anybody out there watching on YouTube, you can smash that like button, hit the subscribe, leave us some comments on any of the topics that we had today. Let us know what you think. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts or any of the podcast apps, you can also leave us a review and leave us some comments on there. And don't forget to check out our website, www.gfothoughts.com, for more episodes.
Yeah. And also, if you like the structure that we did, rapid 5 article, different topics and some of that, you know, let us know. And if you want us to talk about something, let us leave a comment, leave the article, whatever you want us to talk about, or jump in.
Yeah. Join us. We can always have more guests on too. No problem. Yeah.
Well, we appreciate everybody for listening, tuning in, and until next time, everybody. Thanks. Take it easy.
Peace.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Gluten-Free Organic Thoughts Podcast. As always, we appreciate you. If you are watching us on YouTube, please don't forget to subscribe to our channel, like this episode, and leave us a comment. If you are listening to us, please leave us your honest review on your preferred podcast listening platform. And as always, you can find us on social media at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at GFOT Thoughts. Drop a comment and give us some feedback. We would love to hear from you. Until next time, see you then.